Welcome to Cosmic Scene with Jill Jardine. I'm your host, Jill Jardine, Masters in Counseling Psychology, longtime astrologer, psychic healer, and yogi. In today's episode, my guest is Wyn Free. Wyn is fascinating as he tells us about his book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and also sharing information about the Elohim. Who are they? How did he get into communication with them? And what are they bringing forth to the planet? You're going to want to hear all about this, so stay tuned. Welcome to the episode with my guest, Wyn Free. You're in for a fascinating episode as Wyn shares his story and his connections with the Elohim, which are higher beings of divine energy that come through and share messages and healing. And also you're going to hear about his book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. So get ready. Wyn grew up in Philadelphia and would have considered himself as a nerd with unusual aptitudes in electronics and science. He attended college at the University of California, Berkeley, initially as a physics major, and switched to philosophy, all the while exploring the extracurricular activities going on in Berkeley, California in the 60s and early 70s with all the spiritual gurus and psychedelic scenes going on. He became particularly fascinated with Edgar Cayce because of the amount of evidence that Cayce was legitimate. 30 years later, he came across a website of someone who was posting a lot of channelings and became convinced that person was the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce and ended up writing a book about it called The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, which became a niche bestseller. You can check it out at the website, www.returnofedgar.com. In 2002, in the middle of writing this Cayce book, Wyn had a game changer. His girlfriend woke him up and told him to get the tape recorder out. He did, and an intelligence began speaking to Wyn through Terry that identified itself as the Council of the Elohim and invited Wyn to ask them questions. This became the beginning of a major new project. Wyn Googled the word Elohim and found it was one of the names for God in the Old Testament. This was the name the Mormons used for God. For the first few years, Wyn had to convince himself they were legit and were who they said they were. He began amassing thousands of conversations with them, which he posted on a website. That website is www.thespiritchannel.net. As he became more confident in the veracity of the information, he began holding live conference calls where he would ask the Elohim questions and even let the attendees on the calls ask questions. Aside from the great wisdom the Elohim would impart, there was a deep understanding of how the universe worked and ongoing miraculous phenomena occurring for the people attending the conference calls. Wyn has lectured at many expos and has been a guest on George Norrie's Coast to Coast 8 times. You can find out about his book on the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce at thereturnofedgar.com. Check out his channelings from the Elohim on thespiritchannel.net and tune in with him on a Sunday morning podcast where the Elohim come through at 10 a.m. Pacific time on www.bbsradio.com. Or call 667-770-1523. PIN number is 940658. Also, you can go check out on YouTube Wyn's movie that was made about him called Wyn Meets God. Check it out. It is my honor and pleasure to introduce my guest for today's episode, Wyn Free. Welcome, Wyn.
Hi, Jill. Thank you for having me.
I am so excited to have you on the show. I want to hear your story. I want you to start with the beginning. You started telling me off air about going to school at Berkeley. What happened?
Well, I grew up in Philadelphia, and I was a scientific nerd. And I went to Berkeley because I thought I wanted to be a physics major. And I got involved in all of the extracurricular activities at Berkeley at the time.
And what era was this, just for our listeners' edification?
It was in the 60s and 70s, okay?
Best time to be there.
There was the free speech movement, there was hippies, there was psychedelic music, the Jefferson Airplane. And I used to walk around on the campus, and I would just look, and it was like a big show, right?
Yes.
And then I met this woman. We kept meeting each other, and we had a synchronicities together. I didn't even know the word synchronicity, of course, at the time. And I had started being really bored with physics. And I was cutting classes and just cramming for finals. And I was really, I was starting to write songs. And I went over to this lady's house who I kept meeting on the campus. And I sung her some of the songs I was writing, which I never sung for anybody. And she flipped. And I couldn't sing very well. And so she said, let's start a band. And we did. And then the band broke up. And we started traveling around the country in a Volkswagen bus. And it was very magical because I had very long hair. And everyone was reading about hippies. And we were like hippie emissaries traveling around the country. And people would... We go into a bar and people would take us home and put us on their couch. And of course, I was learning how to do astrology charts. So we would do astrology charts for people and we were very entertaining and it was very magical. And then we went, after about 3 years of that, we went back to Berkeley and she didn't want to do it again. And so I decided that there was something that I was learning from traveling and that I was going to do it myself. And I started hitchhiking around the country with my guitar and my astrology books.
Very nice.
And I was having experiences that I read about. Did you read Autobiography of a Yogi?
Oh, yes, many times. That's that's such an inspiring book. And you started having some of those Siddhi powers show up?
Well, I didn't even think of it as powers. I just thought about it like, how is this world so magical? You know, I was doing astrology charts, and I observed something that was quite amazing. And when I would hitchhike, I would get a couple that would pick me up, for example, that was like an Aries and a Gemini, right?
Yes.
And they would drop me off and I'd wait 3 hours for a ride. And another Aries Gemini would pick me up.
There's that whole synchronicity, the cosmos.
I kept having cycles like that, right?
Yeah. You
know, where I would meet people, but it would change, you know. For 2 or 3 days, it would be Aries Gemini, then it would be something else. And I kept saying to myself, how does the universe work to have caused this to happen? And I actually figured it out. But at the time, my scientific side was just going, gaga, how can this be real? And then eventually... I'm not going to give all the details of my biography, but I was writing articles for a metaphysical magazine in Sedona, actually. And I was interviewing luminaries. And it was then I ended up synchronistically ending up on David Wilcock's website. And I was studying him and I said, he was putting all these channelings up and I said, oh my God, this guy has to be Edgar Cayce. And he didn't say it outright, but he had the picture of him and Edgar Cayce. And you read Edgar Cayce. I don't know if you recall, but Cayce said he was going to return in 1998 and maybe a liberator of the world. Do you remember that?
Oh, yes.
The Rata thing. So I said to myself, geez, I have found Edgar Cayce, and he's back. And I used to think it meant that he would be born in 1998, but it actually meant, in retrospect, that his sources who he was channeling were going to tell him he was Edgar Cayce in 1998, which they did.
Fascinating. Because David Wellcock was born, I think, in the 70s, right? So
yeah.
So it took him, so right around his Saturn return, I think he started bringing the information forth.
Right. But you know, I spent about 3 years working on that project, and David was extremely difficult to work with, and he was scared of bringing that information forth in such a public way. And when the book came out, and I had never published a book before. I didn't know I could even write a book, but I was passionate to do it. And when the book came out, he told me, I don't want to tell people I'm Edgar Cayce anymore. And I want to do other things. And so I told him, well, I'm going to go on radio shows and talk about it because I think this is like an epic story. And in truth, his channelings were bringing through the whole story of the shift. And I was going on a lot of talk shows at the time, including George Norrie. And the book was becoming a niche bestseller. And I got so angry with David that we ended up, from my point of view, I didn't want to talk to him anymore. Because what happened while I was writing the book is I had a new girlfriend. And we were living together in L.A. area. I was doing little fairs and festivals to make money, selling things. And when I started writing The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, I stopped doing that. In fact, I cut all my expenses. I had a little RV. I moved into my RV. I lived on the streets of L.A. I go to Starbucks every day and work on the book. And then I had a new girlfriend, and we had to rent a place, and we had to make some money. So I went to do a festival in Portland, Oregon. It's called the Rose Festival, to make some money. And we were driving through a really bad rainstorm in Northern California. And I did a prayer protection for safe driving. And at the end of the prayer, I said it like a joke. Does anybody want to talk to me? I looked up at the headliner of the car and said that, because I'm writing this book about channeling.
And
she answered and said, we're here. Do you have questions? And
who's driving at this point?
I'm driving. And I'm thinking she's kidding. She knows I'm writing this book. And so I start asking some questions. And she's answering the questions. And then after about 3 minutes, she says, it's the strangest thing that ever happened to me. And I had no idea what to make of it. Was she crazy? Was it negative? And so we continued to Portland. And 3 days later, we're in a hotel. And I said, do you want to try that again? I'll get a tape recorder out. And she said, okay. And I asked the question. My opening line was, does anybody want to talk to me? And again, there was an answer. And I said, how come my girlfriend can do this? And they said, your girlfriend's from another dimension. She came here to bring these messages in. And this is an important connection. Now, I'm not believing this. I'm just asking questions. I'm considering it. And it took me a long time to understand what was actually going on. But I then said, how do I know she's not crazy? And this is not, you're not just part of her schizophrenia and she's making this up. Can you guys predict a newspaper headline? And they said, watch for this headline in 2 weeks. And in 2 weeks, there was the headline. Well,
what was it? I'm sure everybody wants to know.
Go watch my movie.
Okay. Oh, yeah. That's, movie up. This is all in the movie about your life.
Yeah.
People can find that on YouTube.
Yeah. You know, we don't, this is a really short interview.
Yes, it is. When Meets God is the movie on YouTube. Check it out.
Yeah, just do a search for When Meets God and you'll get all the details. Okay. And so now, without quite believing this is real, I just go on the process of asking them questions. And we're doing maybe one or two sessions a week. And she would interrupt me and tell me, those guys want to talk to you again. And they identified themselves by the name, the Council of Elohim. And I Googled the word Elohim, and I found it was one of the names for God in the Old Testament. It's the name the Mormons use for God, and supposedly the creators of the universe. And I asked them, are you the same Elohim? And they said, we're part of the same. And I said, why are you talking to me? And they said, you're like a cosmic midwife. You know how to bring these things into the world, and you don't have ego about it. Now, let me tell you, I didn't believe them, okay? I had not a clue what to do. I was intimidated by the whole thing. And in fact, I was afraid I was going to become their minion, and they'd be ordering me around, telling me to do this, do that, and the other thing. That never happened. They just honored free will. And one time I asked them, I said, do you guys really like to be worshipped? And they said, no. Worship creates a separation. And we prefer to be seen as your higher level big brothers. And we can help you in ways that you need to be helped. And you can help us, because your planet is going into a lot of negativity, and we can help hold the energy to shift that. That's essentially what they said. And I'm still thinking, how can anything that big be talking to me? I mean, we were just in a little apartment in Pomona area. And no one knew this was going on. I didn't want to tell anybody about it. It was just happening, and I'm starting to make this log of these incredible conversations about how the universe works. And the woman who was channeling was freaking out over it. It was scaring her. I should mention one thing that happened in those first 6 months, and that is, I got a call from my brother-in-law that my sister was going into the hospital for serious operation, and they didn't think she would survive. So the next day this was going to happen, and I said, well, let me see what these guys can really do, okay? And I did a channeling session, and I said, can you guys help my sister? And they said they could. So the next day, I got a call from my brother-in-law, and he said the operation was successful. It was for cancer, and she looks like she's going to be okay. Now, I'm thinking, did I have a miracle, or would it have happened anyway? So I didn't know. I didn't talk about it. And then 3 weeks later, my brother-in-law called me and said something really weird happened. He took my sister to the doctor for tests to see if the cancer had come back. And they said she was completely clear, except there was something wrong with the test. And they kept retesting her. And the same wrong thing came up, which was her lupus disappeared.
Wow.
And in Western medicine, even when lupus goes repressed, it never disappears from a test. And so the next day, I did a channeling, and I asked them, how did you guys do that? And they said, we projected a filter into her blood and took the lupus out.
Fascinating.
And I had never heard anyone who is involved in channeling report a story like that, you know? And I started to begin to understand the power that the Elohim have. And now the Elohim, they describe themselves, they're not physical bodies. They're energy bodies.
Right.
There's millions of them. They can expand, just to quote what they said, they can expand to be as large as a galaxy or as small as an atom. That's their quote. And they work with energy and frequency, and they shift things in this realm with energy and frequency. But they honor free will, and they operate for the highest good of all concerned. So they're not there to, you know, for me to ask them, do this, do that.
Right.
But, you know, this has been going on for 20 years, okay?
Oh, I was just going to ask you, how long has this been going on, the contact with the Elohim? 20
started
years.
Started out in 2002. 20 years. And, you know, when it was first in open beginning stages, I didn't know how to do it. And I just would tell the story as I'm telling you. And I asked them, how am I supposed to put this out into the world? And they said, talk to one person at a time, and it'll get its own legs. So I just kept talking about it. And now, the woman that was channeling was freaking out over it. She was getting negatively attacked. She was waking up in the middle of the night screaming.
Mm-hmm.
Terry and I, well, she left me after 6 months, okay? And I thought this was the end of it. And I spent about 3 weeks mourning the loss. And eventually, I called my former on and off girlfriend, Terry. And Terry was the most kindest, loving person I've ever known, except she was a space case. And I didn't think I could commit to her in a relationship. But I called her up, and she knew I was writing this book, and she came over. And in the middle of the night, she woke me up, and she said, get the tape recorder out. And she knew about the channelings. In fact, she was one of the only people that I invited to attend a channeling. So I took a tape recorder out, and a voice came through her, said it was the same Elohim, that I could reach them through Terry, and this was a very important connection. And so for the next few months, Terry and I were doing two or three sessions a week. Now, I couldn't believe it. I thought first Terry was faking it. She was like wanting to be important to me. But within two or three channelings, she was very awkward at first, and then she got really good. And at a certain point, I asked them, was Terry ever anybody famous? Now, I had learned when I was writing The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce that when you die, your soul retains your DNA imprint. So when you come into a new body, the soul, it programs the new body with the DNA of the past body. Now, you also have other influences. You have your parents' energy. You know, it's complicated. But if you had a strong expression in your past life, you will tend to resemble that person. And if you noticed on my sheet that I sent you, did you look at, you saw that?
Oh, of course. Edgar Cayce and David Wilcock.
Edgar Cayce and were like almost spitting image.
Well, it would be what we would call the soul DNA. There's the genetic DNA from the ancestry and the parents, but I always talk about soul DNA, which is the past life pieces that want to come forth and have expression in this life, just like you're saying.
Mm-hmm. So now I ask them, was Terry ever anybody famous? And they told me, look up St. Catherine of Siena, who I never heard of. So I looked up St. Catherine of Siena, and I found the story of a young woman who lived in Siena, Italy, sometime around 1300 AD. She would go into the local church, and the priests would write down everything she said, because they thought God was speaking to them through her. And St. Catherine's dialogues with God became a classic of Catholic literature. It's still on Amazon. And Terry happened to be almost the spitting image of St. Catherine.
That's wild. I saw the picture. It blows my mind. Yeah.
It blew my mind, yeah. And, you know, from that time, I found many, many people who were who they were in their past life, who they resembled, right? Including myself. But don't ask me. I don't want to put it this.
You can tell me off mic when we go.
Tell you off mic.
Okay.
I'll say it'll blow your mind. And so now I'm realizing Terry has done this previously. And not only was she the spitting image of St. Catherine, but, well, in the story of St. Catherine, there was a guy who the Pope sent to Siena, Italy, to make sure Catherine wasn't demonic, okay?
Right.
Because all the people were buzzing about her, right? And so he sent this guy who was one of their officials. His name was Raymond. And he came to Siena and he fell for Catherine. And not in a romantic way, but he knew she was legit. And he became her constant companion. And helped put a protective energy around her when she was doing this stuff, right? And, you know, I started studying Catherine, and I made a particular study because I was wondering if I was one of the priests at that time. And I looked at Raymond's picture, and I looked nothing like Raymond. But we had this guy who moved in to our house in Sedona. And he moved in temporarily. And then we couldn't get rid of him. And he was cooking dinner for Terry. He was telling her jokes all day, keeping her entertained. And I used to think he was a gigolo or something.
But
then he was Raymond.
I was going to say, it sounds like the reincarnation of Raymond to me.
He was the spitting image of Raymond, you know?
That's wild. And,
you know, it's like I kept seeing these things. You know, I'll tell you a little side story here. One day we were going to channel the Elohim, and we didn't get through to the Elohim. That never happened, but we didn't. A voice came through and said it was Robin Williams. It was just right after he died. Okay?
Wow.
Now, I'm not believing it's Robin Williams. I don't believe anything. I keep saying this can't be real. I wake up and say that to myself every day, except it is, because it's just too much evidence. And so we're talking to Robin Williams, and he starts telling us jokes from the other side. Like, well, I was taking a look at heaven, but I didn't think I wanted to go because the censors there are worse than Mork and Mindy. So I'm thinking, well, you know what? I think that might be Robin, right? And then he said, all my life, I've had these headaches. And the reason is because I died in a plane crash in my previous life, and my head never recovered this lifetime. And so I asked him, well, who were you? And he told me. And it blew my mind, because when I looked up the guy, it looked like Robin. And he was Will Rogers.
Wow. Died in a plane crash. Yeah.
Yeah. Go look at a picture of Will Rogers and Robin Williams.
Okay.
And you'll see the similarity, right?
That's wild. This has been happening pretty consistently when you've been working with the Elohim for the last 20 years, that people will come in and maybe part of your group, and you realize that, wow, I wonder who they were. And then you find out because the Elohim.
Sometimes. You know what? They're very smart. And they don't want to tell people things for their ego.
Exactly.
They're not like psychics.
Well, that's why they brought you. They come through you because you didn't have an ego when you started doing this. And that's really how you can bring through pure form. And I just want to ask you another question. My listeners might want to know about, because some people get afraid of this, and if they're very religiously steeped, they're like, oh, it's the voice of the demons, just like what they were saying about Catherine of Siena. But the proof is in the pudding when you have these healings, like the healing that happened with your sister and the disappearance of lupus. I'm sure you're having a lot of evidence of proof and a lot of spiritual intervention that can only be from source energy. And so that's how you explain that to people, or how do you deal with that issue of the non-believers and or the ones who think you're some kind of demonic possessed being and getting this?
I tell people. That are checking me out.
Have you ever wanted to study astrology? Do you know what your soul purpose is? Do you know what your gifts, talents, strengths, and weaknesses are? Do you want to find out? Everybody's talking about their chart. Now you can too. I'm offering a 6-module astrology course coming up in October 2023. You can go on my website, jilljardineastrology.com, and register on my astrology course and join the cosmic party.
Don't believe anything. I'm not telling you to believe anything. We're not operating on faith here.
That's right.
You'd be exposed to how they speak. You'd be exposed to how you feel, the energy you feel, and they will connect with you, and you will either get the validation that it's legitimate or it's not. I mean, I have asked questions about so many things. I can't even begin to touch on it on this call.
We'll have to do part two.
Yeah. But I was skeptical. I couldn't believe it. And I mean, everything from Jesus to the Anunnaki. You know the Anunnaki, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And I do believe I have the most best information about all these things. But again, I tell people, I have, you know, at first doing this, in the first couple of years, you know, I was trying to get the material together to put a book together. But I was getting so much material that we just started putting up a website. In fact, a guy in Europe put the website up. I didn't even ask him. And he started putting up all of our channelings. And so right now that has over 2,000 sessions on it. Okay?
Excellent.
TheSpiritChannel.net. And, you know, it could still be, I'm in the process of converting some of it into a book. Because there's probably 10 books that can be drawn out of there. And they're listed there in chronological order. And I never knew what I was going to ask until I asked it. So it's not like it all fits together. But each one stands in its own, on its own. And we have a search thing, so you can look up and find things. But what happened was people started being attracted to what I was doing. And, you know, I had a model of like, well, you're supposed to become famous and then do all these expensive workshops and travel around everywhere. And I didn't want to do that. And I didn't want to charge for the material. And we started doing conference calls. And then people would come to the conference calls and keep coming back. And Jill, can you feel an energy right now?
Yes. Well, this is what I was going to say. When you talk about the Elohim, there's definitely a vibration. It's very healing. It puts me into an altered state as I hear you talk about them. So I would like to comment on that. There's a vibration of really beautiful energy that comes with them. I can feel it.
They're paying attention to us right now.
It's very soothing. So soothing, peaceful, warm, fuzzy, heart-centered.
Not only that, they're paying attention, and I say this from my experience, they're paying attention to everyone who's listening to this call, even if it's, even if you play it back as a tape, you know?
Which it will be, yes.
And I'll give you a couple examples where they proved it. One time, we were doing conference calls, and we were doing live channeling sessions on the calls. And that's how and so people could ask questions. I'm just like a portal. And I didn't want to be the control aspect of the whole thing. So people could ask questions and get their own answers. And then one time, we're doing that, and suddenly Terry starts talking in another language, or it sounded that way. And then she went back to talking English. The next day, I got an email from a lady in Turkey. Her name was Batul. And the email said, the Elohim wished me happy birthday.
Wow, that was the other language, Turkish. So you know it's beyond personality, it's beyond ego, it's pure soul connection to higher source.
And then there was another guy who was living in Taos, New Mexico. His name is Raiden. And he was, we were broadcasting our calls on BBS radio. And he was listening to us on BBS radio, but he never came into a live conference call. And he heard the Elohim say, "We're paying attention to each of you right now, individually." And so he said, I don't know if he said this out loud or quietly, but whatever, he said, "If you're hearing me, could you answer this question?" And he's listening to this live broadcast where we're talking to them, and they stop in their tracks and they answer his question. So
in the middle of the broadcast.
Yeah, in the middle of the broadcast. Right. And then the people that were have been coming to my calls, and if some of you are feeling this energy and feeling touched, it got to the point where we're doing 10 conference calls a week. And I never wanted to do that many calls. And we're not charging for them. And it's even costing me to do them. Some of them are broadcast on BBS radio. But I've got people volunteering that are they're doing the calls. I'm just there as a support system because I can't do it. I've tried to. But the thing about it is when you start connecting with the Elohim energy, over a period of time, you start holding the energy of a higher dimension. And the patterns which we all have that seem impossible to get over start falling away. And for some people, it starts to happen instantly. For other people, it might take months. But I've been watching this consistently on the people that come to our conference calls. So without coming to expensive workshops, without paying for readings, it starts a process, just feeling this energy.
It's beautiful.
And even reading the channelings causes it to happen.
That's what I'm doing tonight, reading your channelings on thespiritchannel.net. Do you want to speak a little bit? So this podcast, Sunday Morning with the Elohim at 10 a.m. Pacific, that's the same as the www.bbsradio.com or the call in to 667-770-1523? Or are they that's the same thing. It's not two separate things.
No.
I'm going to have all that in the show notes for listeners so they can connect in with you on that.
Yeah. You know, our prime expression into the world is Sunday morning on a 2-hour session, okay? And then what I started to realize was the Elohim were doing miracles. Like on one call, I'll give you one example, just, you know, this was the first time this happened, and I got it. It was on a Sunday call, and there was a hurricane coming down on New Orleans. I think it was called Hurricane Gustav. And all the news was saying it was going to hit with the same force as Katrina. And if you all recall, you know, Katrina devastated New Orleans. So we put it in the light. We said, if you can do something about this, give us a hand. And we weren't channeling at the time, but Terry immediately went into a channeling mode and said, they're talking to Gustav. And that Hurricane Gustav had a consciousness. Now, believe me, I didn't know any of this was true when they said it. And they're showing Gustav that there's somebody in Sedona, that was us, and somebody in Mount Shasta. And they said, we can move some of your energy to those two places, and you don't have to do as much damage to New Orleans. And she's having this ongoing conversation for about 10 minutes with a bunch of people listening on a conference call, right? And I'm thinking, here goes my credibility. Because by the time they were finished, they said, Hurricane Gustav has agreed to let us move the energy, and it's not going to be a problem. So when the call was over, I immediately went on the internet, and I'm searching Hurricane Gustav, and I'm hearing all of these news reports that Hurricane Gustav has mysteriously dropped its intensity, and it was supposed to hit full force and do all this damage, and we don't understand why it's dropping intensity. And the next day, the news reports were saying is that Hurricane Gustav has turned into a tropical storm. And it did, you know, it did minor damage. And it blew my mind. It blew everybody's mind that was on that call, because it's hard to believe. And I asked them later, you mean if we didn't do that, it would have hit full force? And they said, yes.
Well, the weather and these tornadoes, hurricanes, they do have consciousness. I've done that with a group by chanting Sanskrit mantras to mitigate one that was supposed to hit Hawaii about 10 years ago. And we did mantras, which are sound vibration, to remove it as an obstacle. And the same thing happened. So that is definitely something people need to know about, that we can, with, you know, using the light, shift the consciousness of even weather patterns.
So
and
we
it
do
just
a call.
It just took a small group, right? You only had a small group of people, or at least
small group. Yeah. Small group. Yeah.
Yeah.
Having enough little incidents like that happen convinced me that we were really doing it. And I started a call, which I didn't want to do, but I just in service because I knew it was working, called Whole Planet Healing, which we do every night at 7 o'clock, from 7 to 8. And about 5 different people do that call. And we go through all the earthquakes that are happening. We go through all the world affairs that are happening. We're not channeling, but we read a little excerpt from a channel. One of the people picks little excerpts to read. And what's happened is these people that have been coming to our calls and watching this for years, they know it's real, and it makes a difference. It's a way somebody can make a difference without going out of their house, just picking up the phone and getting on our Whole Planet Healing call.
For any of our listeners, if they want to join in, 7 o'clock Pacific time, right, every night,
right.
How, what do they need to do? Just call a certain number?
You know what? Come to the Sunday morning call, because we can talk to you then, and just ask us, what's the number for Whole Planet Healing, okay?
Beautiful. That's all being show notes. Winfrey,
yeah.
What a service you're doing to the planet with your connection to the Elohim and all this outreach. It's been such a pleasure to have you on the show and to listen to your stories. And more than that, feel the vibration that you're bringing through with the Elohim and sharing that over the airwaves. This has been such a treat. I'm so appreciative. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. And keep in mind, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce is a really good book, and it really is convincing. But half of the book was Wilcox's channelings, which were brilliant when I was writing the book.
And again, they can go on your website, returnofedgar.com, to find out more about the book. And not to forget to go onto thespiritchannel.net, as well as your Sunday morning on bbsradio.com, all of which will be in the show notes. Thank you so much, Wynn, and we'll have you back for sure.
Thank you for having me.
I hope you enjoyed this fascinating episode with my guest, Win Free. Make sure you subscribe, download, share, and give us a 5-star review. This is Cosmic Seeing with Jill Jardine, sending healing Elohim vibrations into the quantum field.